group of children find themselves wandering the streets in a town in western Ukraine. They find themselves on a street looking for an answer. They think their answer may be found in alcohol or drugs. Young age of 5, they begin to smoke. They're looking for something. And then they encounter someone who says to them, there's a better way. You can experience what God has for you. And as a result, these children are brought into a church. And in that church, they begin to learn how to sing songs that glorify God. You see, all the songs they had heard before that were the songs of pain and difficulty that had stolen away their capacity to grasp how life should work. For these little children, a couple of Sundays ago, 14 of them got up and sang a song in the church there where they'd been invited. It was an amazing moment. For those of us who were there, we couldn't understand a word they said. But what we could do, we could see their faces. And what appeared hopeless, all of a sudden, the image of glory to God came out of their picture. Well, after they finished, the church there entered in a time of prayer, and they asked one of the children to pray, which I thought was sweet. And it was sweet and tender and brief moment in which you glimpsed into the heart of somebody who was hopeless, who found hope. And 2 days later, I was talking to the young lady who works with these children, and I said, I want to say, first of all, how absolutely blessed I was by the children singing. And she looked at me and said, you know, you realize that they wept after the service. And I said, really? I said, why did they weep? She said, because every child there wanted the people in the church to hear them pray because they had found God. They had found hope. And as she shared that, it just reminded me that all in everyone's life, we look for something. And today we begin a journey of looking at something that for each one of us will take on a different reflection point. Because we all have stories. If we were all to sit down and say, let me tell you my story. Some of you, your story would be laced with pain and difficulty. Some would be challenged by circumstances and heartache. Some of you, you'd look at your story and say, you know what, I don't like my story. And you begin to filter through it. And yet the reality is that all of us have a story, but it's only when we understand that our story is directly linked into His glory that we begin to see how life is supposed to work. And today, as we embark on this journey, I want you to think very clearly about your own story. But then I want you to take a moment and reflect very clearly on how important it is that you live in such a way that you glorify God. And what you'll see today as we start this journey is you'll discover something very quickly, that all through the Bible there are people who made a choice to live for His glory. And as a result, they knew which way to look, they know what they were looking for, and they found it, and life was amazing. And so today, as you think about that, we begin and reflect so clearly on how important it is that we see what it is we're looking for, and we discern what it is that God wants to teach us. And as He teaches us, we learn where He wants to take us to. Now, as we think about how it is that God works in our lives, we immediately realize that we will either live to His glory or we'll struggle in being able to understand what it is He wants to do in each one of our lives. And today I want to ask you a question that as you think about it, it might grab you and cause you to go, you know what, I really want to make sure that I get a handle on this. And here's the question. Can you imagine your story without God, without Him? In other words, let's just say no one ever told you about Jesus and no one ever told you about how God could work in your life and no one ever told you that you could have peace that passed understanding, that you could have joy that was unspeakable, that you could be loved by God. I want you to imagine how life would be. Would it not be dramatically different? Would it not be when you look back that you would say, wow, I can't imagine my story without Him? And yet, do you realize something? There are so many occasions that we live our story without an awareness that we are living for His glory. And as a result, we get frustrated by things that should never take us there. We get overwhelmed by circumstances. We find ourselves panicking over dynamics that we encounter, and all of a sudden, our story is as though we're living without Him anyway. And today, as you think about that, I want you to grab hold of how important it is that you live your life to the glory of God. Now, When you think about that, you immediately realize that you would think that every person would want that. And yet the Bible is clear that not everybody makes that choice. In fact, today we'll find ourselves looking at several scripture verses, but I want us to open our Bibles, first of all, to Acts chapter 7. And as you're opening there, I want you to grasp for a moment that here is a guy who his complete criteria by way of evaluation of what caused him to be in this particular juncture was he believed God, trusted him, and was full of faith and power. Well, as a result of that, the Bible records the words about this man named Stephen that were dramatically significant and had very significant impact on everyone who followed behind him. So in Acts chapter 7, you'll notice that in verse 54, it says that now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God. Now, I want you to take those verses and just think about it for a moment. Here is a guy who, in the midst of watching somebody want to cut him into pieces and end up creating all kinds of heartache and throw stones at him, the Bible does not say that Stephen says, I am going to get you because I'm on God's side. It doesn't say that. The Bible says that he began to look intently at the glory of God. And what I want you to see today as you think about your own journey of faith is everyone here will face circumstances, diagnosis, issues, relationship, all of which can challenge the essence of your faith. But if you are defined by what it is you look at, then you will never be greater than your circumstances, your situations, your pain, your relationship, your difficulty. But if you look beyond those to the glory of God, then something amazing will happen inside of you. And the question you ask yourself is, how do I arrive at that point where God can do something in me that absolutely brings glory to him? Look back at chapter 6, and look if you would, just hit a couple verses about Stephen. I want you to see how the Bible describes him. Chapter 6, if you would, verse 8. If you recall, this is post-Pentecost, and the church is growing dramatically, and they're growing so fast they need people to come in and help, and they choose these men who are going to help. And one of the guys' name, the first one mentioned name is Stephen. Look at verse 8, and notice how he's described. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Verse 10, but they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Speaking of those who had tried to confront him from the synagogue. Verse 15, and fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel. Now, you realize when you look at this, here's what you discover. Here is a guy who understood that when he came to that point where he was able to connect into God's grace and into his truth, something powerful would happen. And you ask yourself the question when it comes to what criteria Jesus would use in order to move someone forward, then you find yourself in the book of John. So turn back just a few pages to the sixth chapter of the book of John. And as you're turning there, by the way, I'm in a real close area here, so you should be able to find me very quickly. In John chapter 6, here we find people who don't like the scenario that's being laid out as the basis by which they should function in order to be who God intended for them to be. And look at, if you would, at verse 41 of John chapter 6. Therefore, the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. And they were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Now, when you read this, you realize that there's one distinctive phrase that stands out in the 44th verse. Because you'll notice what he said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Now, when you see this, you realize immediately that Jesus is saying something. In order for you to have a story, you've got to experience Jesus drawing you to himself. And when he draws you to himself, you begin to have an amazing and different story that sets in motion everything that God intends to accomplish. Now, it's interesting because there's one distinctive quality that disqualified those who were talking to Jesus and being able to experience what it is that he intended for them to experience. And the Bible says this, they grumbled. Now, I want you to ask yourself the question, how often do you grumble? How often do you allow something that comes at you to get the best of you? You ever get tight when you need to be loose? You ever get overwhelmed when you need to trust? You ever find yourself looking at life going, you know what? If I could just find the answer to this, I could deal with it and it'd be done. I'd punch them right in the face and I'd be feeling better. Well, the truth is, that punch wouldn't get you anywhere, would it? It wouldn't cause you to feel better about yourself. Instead, you'd be saying, oh, I can't believe I allowed myself to go there. So Jesus makes it clear, why are you guys grumbling about everything? And I want you to see something about how important our story is as it relates to how we live. Because if we live our story out grumbling about everything, always blaming, always grumbling, always overwhelmed, what's going to happen to our story? Our story is going to lose the significance and power that could change someone's life. Because listen carefully. People are not wanting to hear what causes you to grumble. People are wanting to hear what causes you to be grateful. Because when you are grateful, they see that you have experienced something that the world can't take away from you. And what happens in Stephen's life as we turn back into Acts chapter 7 is here is a place where all of a sudden he comes to that juncture where he will lose life, but he really will gain life. And what I want you to see today as you think about your own life is I want you to think about how could this man who was full of grace and power, how could he look at such a difficult circumstance and instead of looking at people gnashing their teeth, he looked to Jesus. And here's what I want you to see. It is the secret to living out your story to his glory. Because here's what happened with Stephen. Grace and truth intersected. And when they intersected, it became the pivot point that led to transformation of his life. In other words, here's what happened. Stephen, when he encountered knowing Christ, something happened to him that allowed grace and truth to set in motion the most amazing life. And here's what I want you to see today. As you think about your story, when grace and truth are met inside of your heart, you get to experience life in such an amazing way. I met a pastor while I was in Ukraine who touched my heart because I was talking to him about what he was doing, and he began to tell me, his name was Vasily, and he began to tell me how many miles he walked to teach God's word to people in a village that no one had ever heard of. And he left on Thursday. As far as the bus would take him, he walked 3 miles to the first church. And from that church, he walked 6 miles to the next church. And from that church, he walked 9 miles to the next church. Well, I was sitting there looking at him, and you know what? My first thought was, only God knows him. But if he's living for God's glory, what a hero's welcome he will have when he arrives. Because he made a choice to live exclusively to God's glory. But it's at that intersection where grace and truth intervene. And here's what we have to look at today as we look at this passage. Because today I want to show you what happens in Stephen's life. And hopefully you'll walk away going, you know what? I want in my life, I want the compassion of Stephen. I want the conviction of Stephen. And I want to live connected to God's purpose that clearly. But here's our challenge. Because when you think about challenges, our greatest challenge is to live for his glory so that his story becomes our story. And you know what? When you hear that, your first thought is, man, I can make that happen. That's not a problem whatsoever. I'm just gonna do everything every day to glorify God. I wish it was that easy. Wouldn't you love to get up in the morning, push a button? I mean, we have this machine in our house now where it has water sitting beside it. And you put this little thing in there. And you push the handle down, push one button, and it's there. Coffee, tea, whatever you want. Apple cider, you name it. Put the little thing in there, and you got it. Well, you know, every time I marvel at that thing, I think, you know, wouldn't life be cool if you were having a problem, you took out one of those little Keurig packs, put it in your brain, pulled that thing down, all of a sudden, you were calm, you had it all together, you had it figured out. I mean, wouldn't it be great if you had a financial problem, took out one of those Keurig packs, put it in a machine, pulled it down, I don't have any burden financially anymore, I got all the money I need. Well, the truth is, never works that way, does it? And listen carefully. To live for his glory is never easy, but it's always wise. Because when I'm wise enough to live for his glory, something amazing begins to happen inside of me. I begin to experience what God intended. And listen, if you're not living for his glory, you are not going to be living in a way of what God intended for you to live. Because His intent for our life. In fact, Paul said it so clearly. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Why does he say that? Isn't this the same Paul who's standing here as Stephen gets stoned? I mean, don't you know that if there's anything that captured Paul's life, it was the stoning of Stephen? Because what did he see there? He saw a man who was willing to die and not surrender his purpose, his calling, his ambition in life. He was willing to die and never walk away from it. And what you and I need to see today is here's a story that unfolds in an amazing way, and we have to accept this challenge. So today I want you to look at it, and I want you to see three distinctive things that stand out. First of all, I want you to see the discomfort that comes as a result of the truth being revealed. Then I want you to see the discernment of Stephen as he lives out his life. And then as you see this discernment unfold, all of a sudden you'll arrive at a place where you begin to have an understanding of what Stephen understood about life. Because when you get down the bottom line, Stephen, he only has a couple points of reference that are all that guide his life. He obviously lives to glorify God, but he makes these statements. And in fact, if you look at this passage, as he's being stoned, look at verse 59. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Now, I want to ask you a question. How easy is it to say, "Lord, don't let that bother them. Don't worry about that." What do we want to do? Anybody cause us pain, we want to make sure we create pain for them, right? Doesn't our flesh say, "You know what? You stole my money. You're going to pay for that. You did this. You're going to pay." And what Stephen does is he shows what compassion and commitment can do. And so today, as you think about your own journey, I want you to see it. And what we're going to do, we're going to look at, break this passage apart, because this passage sets in motion everything we're going to look at over the next number of weeks. But today we see what happened with Stephen. And the thing that we see, first of all, in verse 54, you find this very interesting contrast of words where it says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick," which, by the way, means to be sawn in half, literally to be cut in half. "And they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him." Now, here's the question. What would cause somebody to be that angry, that mad, that they would find themselves cut apart and gnashing their teeth? You ever been around somebody gnash your teeth? Several years ago, I had a guy come in my office, and it's interesting because people sometimes believe they can behave any way they want to wherever they are. But I can tell you right now, you're not going to misbehave in the Lord's house as long as I'm pastor. So he's gnashing his teeth, man. He's stomping around my office. And finally I said, "Son, are you done?" "He said, well, I guess I want to leave." I said, "You ain't leaving. I'm not done. So you sit down. You quit gnashing your teeth because I have something to say to you." And it's interesting. You know what? He just shrunk back into his chair like this. You know why? He'd been called to account. And let me tell you what you and I need to learn. God does call us to account to live for his glory. And what do? We live for his truth. And what happens is we discover something here. How did they come to this place in verse 54 where they are absolutely wanting to take him apart and ultimately will stone him? As they began, and remember in chapter 6 that we were reading there, the very last part of it, they were trying to figure out how could this guy who just got chosen because he was a man full of wisdom and a good man, how could he be doing so many great things? And as a result, they asked him. And in fact, they gave him the opportunity. And if you look at chapter 7, verse 1, notice what it says. The high priest said to him, "Are these things so?" In other words, are all these things we're hearing about you true? And here's what's interesting about what Stephen does. Stephen does not stop right there and say, "Guess what, man, I'm going to tell you my whole story." You know what he does? He tells God's story. And you read all the way through verse 53, and what does he do? He unfolds God's story, which, by the way, it did not set well with the folks who were listening, because the story didn't read like they wanted it to. And as a result, they ended up stoning him. But here's what I want you to see. There was a discomfort that came out of the clear proclamation of truth, of sharing what it is that God had done and what it is that God was doing. And what I want you to see today is there is the discomfort of those who are frustrated by trying to figure out life on their own, that you have to realize that it's your responsibility to still live the truth even if no one else believes it. Privileged to watch as my son-in-law and daughter teach our little grandbaby about the Bible. Recently, they've been learning about Jonah and the fish and talking about being swallowed up. You know, and every time they'll get to that point where they'll ask her and she'll say, "Fish, fish." You know, I hear something so much more profound than it, though, because I hear her being exposed to truth. And here's what I want you to see about truth. And the reason I want you to see this is because if, listen carefully, if you are not living in the truth, you'll have a very hard time conveying the truth. And if you're not conveying the truth, the possibility is very high that you are not living to His glory. All right, so the challenge is, what does God's Word do? It does three distinctive things for any person who ever picks it up. The first thing that it does, it penetrates. I mean, what it does is it penetrates into our lives. Have you ever read a verse that when you read it, you said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble? Because it required something of you? I mean, it spoke to you? My friend George down here sends out a proverb every day. And some of those, I always want to send them back and say, don't send that one next week. Because next month, because it sticks you. It says something to you. And what I want you to discover is that truth penetrates, but doesn't just penetrate. It also has the capacity to separate. But, you know, we live in a day where people have a hard time grasping what God's Word says, what it's about. And let me tell you, when you get the bottom line, this story is about you being able to find an answer you can't find any other place. And when you get inside of this, what happens is it begins to unfold. It begins to penetrate your heart. Begins to speak to you, and then begins to separate between what you know and what God knows and how God works versus how you work. And pretty soon you go, you know what? I don't think I need to do that. How does a guy quit yelling at his wife? He reads the Word. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but that which is good, the use of edifying, that may minister grace to the hearers. That's how a guy quits yelling. It's God's Word. It separates. But let me tell you what it also does. It obligates. When you read God's Word, it obligates you to live a particular way. And I'm going to tell you what you and I need to realize today. We have a very clear assignment. That is, we are to live for Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And what my encouragement to you today is, if someone is uptight because you have your Bible open, rejoice in that. Because what you're really saying is, this truth has penetrated my heart. It has separated me from the things that could take me away from God's best. And it has obligated me to live for His exclusive glory. That's what it says. But then you'll notice what happens. Is by the time they get into gnashing their teeth and getting cut apart, something else begins to happen. Notice if you would, because I want you to see Stephen, I mean, he's watching this. And by the way, if you ever heard anybody gnash your teeth, it's not pretty. It hurts. You know, you ever been around somebody like that? Any of you have a parent did that? You know, they go, you know. And you sit there thinking, well, you're going to hurt all your cavities and everything if you don't be careful. You know, the truth is, there's something about that that causes you pain just looking at it. Well, they're gnashing your teeth, and all of a sudden, what does he do? Look if you would. Because I want you to see the discernment of the faithful man named Stephen. His discernment. Look at it if you would. Verse 55, but being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now stop right there and think about it for a minute. If somebody was telling you that, wouldn't you at least stop and go, wow, man, they're seeing something I've never seen. But they don't do that, do they? Look, if you would, what do? But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. In other words, they went at him as fast as they could because they could not stand the truth. Which, by the way, we're coming to a place in our world where they cannot stand the truth. Scary, alarming, but very evident all the way back to Stephen's day. So what happens here? Let's look at it very quickly. First of all, the Bible says that he looked intently. He gazed intently. In other words, he had a very clear focus without anything that got in his way. What was he doing there? He was looking in the right direction. And a person who is discerning will always look in the right direction. Let me give you an example. It's a great example of what transpired at this church yesterday in a funeral service. 8 weeks ago, as I shared with you a few moments ago, 8 weeks ago, a gentleman walked in the building because his kids had made a choice, listen carefully, to live for the glory of God by being involved in God's work. They made that choice. He came in and walked into this house, came into the Lord's house, and it captured him. It captured his attention. 30 years he had not been in his house. But for 8 weeks, he connected in to the glory of God by experiencing what God had for him, not even having any idea that he would pass away so quickly. After that service, yesterday afternoon, later on, I was checking messages. I had a message on my phone from the guy I just conducted his service for. Because I'd been out of the country, my voicemail doesn't show up in a foreign land. And as I listened to that message, I said, Pastor, I've been coming because my boys come to church there. I want to talk to you. Would you please give me a call? You know, the truth of the matter is he didn't need my call. He received a call from heaven and said, come on home. you found your way back home. And what I want you to see today is this. You can look in a lot of directions. You can get offended because somebody says something. You can get mad because somebody hurt your feeling. You can get upset because life didn't work the way you wanted to. But if you walk away from Jesus, you are walking the wrong way. And if you look the wrong way, you're looking at something that will not get you where God intended. How I thank God that we as people let grace and truth intersect so that someone can encounter what God has for them. And my encouragement to you today is this. If you're here today, and let's just say life has slam dunked you, and you are looking at life saying, you know what, I feel terrible. My encouragement to you today is this. You get a chance to look in a new direction today because you get to look intently at Jesus. That's what happened with Stephen in the midst of all that was going on. But not only did he look intently at Jesus, he also saw the right thing. He saw the glory of God. And I'm going to tell you, it's not easy traveling and encountering people and trying to share God's truth, but I'm going to tell you something. When you get a glimpse of glory, of 800 children being encouraged in a week's time, there's something. I met a little guy in an orphanage, in a hopeless place. His name was Dennis. Couldn't take his eyes off of me. They were doing the Bible story and everything, and he'd look at me the whole time. So I'd smile at him, you know. Good to see you, son. He'd look at me. Keep looking. And I thought, what is he looking for? So finally, after the thing over, I said, Dennis, come here. I want to give you a big hug. I want to encourage you. We gave him a big hug, and he went about to his classroom. And later on, we went to a tour, so I walked into his classroom. There he was, looking straight at me again. And I'm going to tell you, I couldn't forget Dennis's eyes if my eye went bad again and left. I mean, it just absolutely penetrated because he was looking for the right thing. He was looking for somebody to love him and care for him. Listen, what Stephen was looking for, he was looking for the glory of God. He saw the glory of God. Wouldn't you like to see that in this generation? I mean, do we want to live where we don't get to experience seeing amazing things happen? I hope that we want to live to see God be glorified and that God be honored with everything we're doing. But not only does he see the right thing, but you'll notice one other thing transpires. He begins to testify. And you know what's interesting? His story is not about himself. He begins to testify with clarity that he sees Jesus. And listen carefully. In your darkest, most difficult, challenging moment, don't look at yourself. Look to Jesus. Because, man, if you look at yourself, what are you going to see? Pain, heartache, difficulty, overwhelming circumstances, financial burdens. You're going to see all these things. But if you look at Jesus, you're going to see him high and lifted up. And what you now need to see today is we need to look at the right thing so we have clarity of focus. But then you ask yourself, well, what happened with all those people who were here seeing him make this testimony? Well, I wish it turned out that they had enough discernment to move the right direction, but they didn't. In fact, the Bible says that they reacted in a very strong way because they went after him. And here's what I want you to see. Stephen had to experience the anger of man, but it did not remove him from the purpose of God. And we are living in a day and an age where people are angry. They're angry enough. They're angry enough that life didn't work out for them, that their religion says we need to make sure we blow a few people up. Angry. If you read the background of these two young men who made a choice to decimate so many people's lives, leave them maimed or dead, it all comes down to anger because life didn't work out for them the way they thought it should. And here's what I want you to realize. Religion can never take you where God wants you to go, no matter what religion it is. And what you and I need to see today is he experienced the anger of man. And I'm going to tell you what I want you to be reminded of as we see the coming of the Lord Jesus draw nigh. You are going to see people more angry than you ever imagined because life is not going to work for them. As that triumphant trumpet is about to blow, there's going to be a lot of anger. But then you look beyond this moment of their anger to how Peter responded. And that's the final thing I want to show you today as we wrap up our message. As you look at it, Peter had what I call a profound understanding of truth. He understood it from what Jesus said on the cross, and he understood it by how he had lived his life. And what you see here is you'll notice, if you would, in verse 58, that the Bible says, when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. I want you to see two very profound things. The first one is this. when we confess Jesus, it can conquer all pain. You see, you may be here and you may have been rejected by your parents. You may have been rejected by somebody. You may have been hurt. You may have been going through all kinds of difficulty. But that confession, what does he say? Jesus, receive my spirit. You know, a lot of people are going, when they arrive in heaven, are going to say, now, Lord, I got a list here of stuff I need to ask you about. And can you imagine? No doubt the Lord will look at him. Come on in. None of that's relevant. You've confessed me as Lord. But then the Bible says that he said, don't hold this against them. And what I want you to see is there's a compassion that you and I need to have for those who do cause us pain. In fact, when you look at it, this compassion truly displayed how deep his knowledge was of who God is. Because what happens when someone doesn't forgive? They enter into a prison of their own design. And they stay in that prison without a key until they encounter a compassion in their heart that says, I am just not going to live my life because he hurt me or she hurt me. I'm going to live my life to the glory of God. And what I want you to be challenged by today is you need that kind of compassion to move you forward, to experience what God intended. What you saw in this passage that Saul was right in the middle of this watching it. Now, you can imagine, put the story together, because who does Saul end up becoming? He ends up becoming Paul, right? And he ends up writing half of the New Testament. I want you just to look at one other verse, because you can't miss this as you think about this whole idea of living and looking for his glory. Philippians chapter 3. And look, if you would, just at verse 20 and verse 21, okay? And what I want you to see today is this is a clear biblical basis for you to understand how important it is you live for his glory. Look at verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now, think about this. Saul is watching Stephen be stoned. And what is he hearing him say? Lord, receive my spirit. Look on to verse 21. Who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Is that not a great point of reference for us today as we think about living our lives to God's glory? And today I ask you a simple, simple question. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Are you looking for what only God can do? If you are, then you're looking in the right place. But if you're looking for what somebody else can do, you'll miss all that he has for you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to look at your word today and how faithful you are, Lord, to speak to our hearts every single day as we open your word up to our lives. And Lord, today we've realized something. We want to live for your glory. And I think about all those who are here. Wonderful guests. We thank you, bless their lives, that their lives would be beautiful pictures of what brings glory to you. For all of our members, Lord, to think about our lives and living in a way that brings exclusive glory to you is our absolute and total ambition. We make it our ambition, Lord, to please you by living to your glory. And so I pray, Lord, you bless in an amazing way and allow us, Lord, to be able to come out of this service realizing we have an assignment from God that moves us straight into your purpose. And as we experience your purpose, something powerful begins to happen. And we bless you for this in Christ's name. Amen.